today on Real Radio.
Do you believe your actions matter? Now, this is a big deal because a lot of people don't view this. A younger generation today, listen, I'm not here to insult anybody. I'm here to challenge you. The younger generation today is not being taught that actions will generate an outcome, that your actions matter.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues a series called The Worldview Series, a series that encourages us to have an active, relevant, engaging, and culturally involved faith. Now, one of the most defining aspects of a believer is, quite frankly, what we believe and how what we believe affects our view of the world. A worldview is how we see the world around us. And as Christians, it's vital that we spend time on this topic because what you believe, it really does define you. It governs your life. It dictates how you act and dictates your future. What you believe really does matter. Pastor Jack is about to take us through some common worldview issues and help us see them through the lens of the Bible. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. It's a message called, What You Believe Defines You.
Is your lifestyle or your worldview lifestyle worth duplicating? That is, does your worldview protect or promote or propagate the culture? Is it a good thing, how you live your life, based upon your actions, which is based upon your worldview? Does your worldview protect, promote, or propagate the culture in which you live in? Is your worldview lifestyle worthy of being duplicated? Think about that. That would mean that if you have a certain lifestyle that's very, very self-centered, in fact, listen, self-centered worldviews die out in the first generation. It's repeated in the lives of people, but it doesn't propagate or advance the culture. You know what I'm talking about? For example, if evolution's true, then how can there be homosexuality? If evolution's true, homosexuality is immorality. Who says? God says. Oh, there you go, back to God again. Well, wait a minute. God is loving and forgiving and kind and shows us the way out of all of our sin. Evolution's brutal, if it were true. Evolution would eradicate anything and everything that is weaker, that does not promote, protect, or propagate the culture. You got that? It's very simple. Now, in light of our worldview, or the worldview argument, did I just say something political? Did I just say something religious? Or did I just say something moral? Isn't it interesting that in this room tonight, your view is already starting to change because you and I feel comfortable about taking a topic and putting it in a pigeonhole and identifying it with a label on it and sealing the box. That's where it belongs, right there. And the whole night is awakening you already that your faith as a Christian applies to every area of your existence. Because answer me this, Mr. Politician. What right or authority do you solely have about legalizing or promoting homosexuality in a culture? Frankly, what right do you have, Mr. Politician, to promote heterosexuality in a culture? Do you know what politicians are for? They're supposed to make sure our streets are paved and the streetlights work and the sewers flush. Politicians are supposed to make sure the infrastructure works, that we have police officers with real guns. That's what politicians are supposed to do. Never to dictate our morality or religion from their political pulpit. You understand that? It's so important. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, my brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Wow. Or Galatians 5:19, but the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, that's drug use, the word in Greek. Interesting word. Huh? Isn't it interesting? Pharmakeia, translated in English, is sorcery. I guess if you take enough pharmaceuticals, you see wizards and dragons and demons. Enmity is warfare, strife, personal conflicts, jealousy, fits of anger, revelries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies. Sounds like the latest movie coming out of Hollywood. And things like these, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Wow, those are two, Philippians and Galatians, two opposing worldviews right there. It's amazing. Next thing is this, do you believe your actions matter? Do you believe your actions matter? Now, this is a big deal because a lot of people don't view this. A younger generation today, listen, I'm not here to insult anybody. I'm here to challenge you. The younger generation today is not being taught that actions will generate an outcome, that your actions matter. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. So let's just live it up. Hedonism. It doesn't matter, people will say. Actions don't matter. Hedonism is a school of thought that argues that pleasure is your chief pursuit. It's an intrinsic good to have done to yourself. In its simplest terms, to be hedonistic or pleasure-seeking means to strive for the pursuit of pleasure, comfort, ease, and leisure. Just live for pleasure. But listen, your actions matter. Galatians 6, verse 7 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows. I mean, this is a law. You can try to violate this, but this is a law like gravity, man. You go outside and jump off the building, you are not going to go up. And the Bible says if you sow evil stuff, you're going to reap evil stuff. You sow good stuff, you're going to get good stuff. It used to be an ancient saying when computers were invented. I was around when computers were invented. Remember garbage in, garbage out? Remember that saying? That was one of the first computer lingo things. Garbage in, garbage out. Man, what's wrong with this stupid computer? It's not doing what I told it to do. And the guy would come up and say, garbage in, garbage out. Can't do anything unless you told it to do something. We need to be careful about that. And then listen, we're going to wrap it up with this. Third and final point. What you believe defines you. Your worldview produces your outcome. There is an end to your worldview someday. Is your worldview for the moment? Is it just for the now? Going to have you check something out here, and it's this way. Is your worldview for the moment? Does your worldview really make sense? I want you to think about that for a second. Does your worldview really make sense? Because there are those, for example, who are, and I'm just picking on one group of people. This is the Occupy Wall Street people. See, they don't, I'm not joking. They don't have to work. They're anarchist. And people will say, well, it's my worldview that nobody should have money, that everybody should be the same. But do you understand that the only way people can all be the same is if the rich people give the people who don't want to work their money? Is that biblical? Read your Bible. Is it biblical? The Bible says if you don't work, you will not eat. Did you know that? The Bible says that. The Bible says if a man has the ability to work and he doesn't work, he's not supposed to eat. You know what the word implies? He'll get hungry enough that his hunger pains will drive him to a productive life. I can't believe you said that. I didn't say it. The Bible says it. That's the worldview of the Bible, the biblical worldview. You say, well, that's terrible. That's terrible. Oh, no, the Bible's very clear about those who cannot work because of ailments, sickness, or deformity. We're to take care of them. No doubt about it. But to the person who's a bum by choice, they're to get nothing. So, man, I can't believe this. This is, see, again, your worldview is being challenged, isn't it? Pretty amazing stuff. Ephesians 5:11 says, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. Next, and we're almost done, do you consider a future judgment in your worldview? This is very interesting. Do you consider a future judgment? Did you know that there's a tremendous amount of churches today that don't believe in this? Do you consider a future judgment? Church, does the Bible speak about a future judgment?
Yes.
Don't answer me right now. This next one. Do you believe that? If you do believe that, you have a biblical worldview about judgment. You with me? But today, in churches across America and around the world, there is no future judgment. It's being taught. Why? Because the culture now, as a tail, is wagging the dog. People don't want certain things, and so, for example, churches and church leaders are saying, gosh, let's give the people what they want. Let's tell them what they want to hear. The Bible says there's a future judgment. If you really believe that there's a future judgment, wouldn't it affect how you conduct yourself today and how you think? Huh? Absolutely. You can read Revelation. I don't have time right now. Read Revelation 20, verses 11 to 13 regarding future judgment. Or 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, and then we end right here. What are you willing to do about your worldview? It's my hope that it's born in you tonight, at least the curiosity to make sure that you have a biblical worldview. We all will encounter some hot button issues in life, every one of us. If you don't encounter a hot button issue, you've never gone to a family picnic or stepped outside your bedroom. It can't be avoided. And I'm going to end with these challenges. You can close your Bible. We're done now. But I just want you to think about this here. Now here, I'm going to sound like I'm tricking you. I'm not tricking you. What if everything's debatable? By that I mean everything is open to examination. Do you believe that? Do you believe everything is debatable? You know what the word debatable means? Can be argued about. Let's argue about something. So let me ask you, can we argue about, is the earth flat or round? We can argue about it. Can we argue about the weather tomorrow? We can argue about it. Okay? We can argue. Listen, we can argue and debate everything. Do you understand that's okay? Do you understand that it's what's called apologetics, not apology? A Christian is to be apologetic in the truest meaning of the word regarding their faith. That doesn't mean, I'm sorry, I'm a Christian. Excuse me. I'm sorry, I believe in God. Excuse me. Whoops, I'm sorry, Jesus is my Lord. That's not what it means. That's not what it means. Apologetic means, hi, I'm a Christian. Let me tell you what that means and why you should believe as well. Here's the reason why. Number one, apology, to give an argument. In that sense, everything's debatable. You want to talk about the deity of Jesus? Let's debate that. The Christian should win that debate every time. You want to talk, let's move it off the issue. Let's talk about hydrology or tides of the ocean and of the sea. Yes, let's do that. Let's go to the book of Job, by the way, and let's go to the book of Proverbs, because God talks about, through the wisdom of Solomon, how he cut through the oceans, the path, the currents of the sea. Let's talk about how the moon plays upon the tides. The Lord addresses that in the Bible, so where do you want to start? Well, I want to talk about blood. Hematology. Let's talk about blood. Fantastic. I'm glad you brought that up. Because in the book of Leviticus, God told Moses that the life of a human being is in the blood. Did you know that wasn't known until the Dark Ages? It was up until the Dark Ages, it was believed that the life of an individual was in the air, not in the blood. The Christian should win every argument. And listen, it has nothing to do with being an Islamophobe or a homophobe or a Christophobe or whatever you want to call it, whatever. Give an argument that is reasonable, logical, and here's the winning part, biblical. And you don't even have to tell your friend or your opponent or the debate person that you're with that you're even telling them a biblical issue or a biblical component to the debate. State the truth. And then when they say, how did you know that stuff? Well, I read the Bible. Would it be right to offend someone's religious practice? Is that right? to offend someone's religious practice. I love this. This is so awesome. This is real what's happening here right now. Listen, be careful how you answer this. You need to say, well, what do you mean? Explain that, define that. Give me a context for the argument. Example, would it be right to offend someone's religious practice in a real-world situation? The city of Chino Hills discovered that there's mosquitoes carrying the deadly West Nile virus in our community. You say, what in the world does that have to do with religious practice? There are people who live in our city who believe that you cannot even kill a mosquito because of their religious belief. Wait a minute. That's their worldview. What are you going to do? If a mosquito is let live and it kills people, but you can't kill that mosquito because my religion says that that is a reincarnated bad uncle I had. Is that a political issue? Is it a religious issue? Or is it a moral issue? It's all three, isn't it? Fun, huh? That's real, by the way. West Nile virus. Would it be right to offend someone's religious practice? What about Congress proposing a tax on all women wearing a burqa in America because TSA can't tell if it's a pregnant Muslim woman or a man posing as a woman carrying a bomb onto an airplane? What do you think about that? I'm not going to touch that with a 10-foot pole. Would it be right to offend someone's religious practice? What about if President Obama asked for a tax to be placed upon all Christmas trees this Christmas? What? You weren't supposed to know that. Yeah, that's true. Is that right to impose a tax on Christmas trees at Christmas? Is that a political issue? Is it a moral issue or is it a religious issue? For me, it's religious and it's moral. It's moral that the government has no right to tell me what to do. Only God does. And then is it political? Well, I didn't pick this fight. By the way, he was overruled. The White House was overwhelmed with criticism and they backed off from that yesterday. So, okay, and then I'm really ending. Example right here. Right here at home, this is something I have almost been killed by family members over this topic. And plus, many of you have written me letters about this topic asking me to get involved, and I will not do it. This is not a fight for me. Right here in our own hometown is the issue of green technology and global warming. Green technology issues. Most people under the age of 40 in this room are for green technology, absolutely 100%. I believe the Christian is the person who knows best as how to govern this planet based upon the Bible, where to take care of it. And I think the Christian does the best job, period. My God made it. Nobody respects it more than me. My God also said to use it. It's how you use it. So all the environmental greens said, we've got to do this. We've got to do this. We've got to save the environment. And so it's being saved. And 250-foot electric poles are being put right up through communities in Chino Hills, from Tehachapi Mountains all the way down. And it has caused property values to fall, and it is horrifically offensive to the eyesight. It has destroyed the famous Chino Hills picture postcard photo that you would see on the website of the city, for example. It's horrific. But you can't complain about that. You cannot complain about that. Why? Because our culture and their worldview, they've decided that that's okay because it's green technology. And so this horrific-looking thing going through these cities, including right down the middle of our city, our town, through the hills and over the sheep and through the meadows it goes. And there's people protesting, and some people have been crying about it, and I don't blame them. I'm actually for them. But this is what our prevailing worldview wants. You want green technology. That's what Edison decided to do. Is that a political thing? Is it a moral thing? It is a religious thing. It's not a religious thing to me, because I don't live here anyway. I mean, I live here, but I mean, I hang out here. My house is just down the street, but I'm waiting to go to heaven. Amen. So that's where I'm waiting to go home. I haven't been home yet, but I'm waiting to go home. But you see all these issues, we're going to have a lot of fun because these issues matter. And it will all come together and it will affect you. And you will no longer ever be able to parse things out like, well, that's this and I don't have anything. Oh, but this is everything. Father, we thank you that the most controversial issue of all, the most hotly contended worldview issue, is not a thing but a person, Jesus. It is Jesus Christ. And whether we have yielded to him as Lord and Savior. Wow. His name causes us to go to sleep at night in comfort, or to grind teeth and cause someone to fret and panic. And Father, we pray tonight that the name of Jesus, that the Word of God, the Bible, that the personal relationship that God offers through Christ revealed in his word would be ours to not only enjoy, but to stand firm and strong in. To be people invincible until you call us home. Not arrogant, not harsh, but loving. And that it's in these arguments, it's in these debates, it's in the challenge of a worldview that towers come tumbling down made of straw and mountains of faith are built when these two worlds collide. May we trust Jesus always, for having died on the cross and risen from the grave for the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called What You Believe Defines You, a study on looking at worldview issues through a biblical lens. Today's lesson was just one in a series called the Worldview Series, the series that encourages us to have an active, relevant, engaging, and culturally involved faith. And we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. We just ended a series called You Need to Know. We want to let you know that we're presenting to you a special offer, and that's this. For your gift of any amount to this broadcast outreach known as Real Radio, we'll send you the entire series on MP3 CD. I'll say that again for you. We'll send you the entire series called You Need to Know by Pastor Jack on MP3 CD for your gift of any amount to Real Radio. Now, whether you call, click, or write, be sure to mention it by name. It's called You Need to Know. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You could also call us at 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd prefer, write to us, include your gift, and ask for it by name, You Need to Know. It's on MP3 CD. Of course, all of our contact info can be found right there at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.